Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith. This is Pastor Dave, and well, Merry Christmas. It's Christmas. Maybe you're at home alone, and I want you to know that you're not alone. And thanks for turning on the programming this evening or this afternoon or whenever you're listening. And I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We're going to look at the Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2, 8 to 20, and just read the story again on this Christmas day. Before we do, let us pray. Lord God, we just give thanks for the birth of your child. We give thanks that Jesus is our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Counselor, our Almighty God and Everlasting Father. And we give thanks that you have come to give us your peace that surpasses all understanding. May your words tonight or today, whatever time it is that we turn to your word, may your words just be alive and redemptive and fill us with your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Boy, I'm going to stop there for a moment. Maybe on this Christmas day, you are afraid. Every time God's angels show up, whether it was to Zechariah or Joseph or Mary or the shepherds, and really to us, he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. You see, God has good news for you, and it is great joy. In verse 11, it says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to all to whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There was a news story about a young eighth grader in Pennsylvania. Her name was Julianne Holland, and she was from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And she wanted to do her part for Jesus at Christmas. And without informing her parents, she addressed a letter to Jesus in care of the local post office. Well, a lot of people address their letters to Santa. You know, and they write their Dear Santa letters. But here is Julianne Howard, and she writes a letter to Jesus, and she puts it in the mail. It landed on the desk of a Presbyterian man who was the director of customer service at the Harrisburg Post Office. His name was Donald Orner. He was 62 years old. Here's what Julianne wrote. Dear friend, I am 13 years old. And you must think I'm weird for writing a letter to Jesus when everyone knows it wouldn't get anywhere. But I wanted to give you a message. Every Christmas, all people think about is getting presents. But that's not the reason at all. I think Christmas means getting all your friends together and having a good time because Jesus is born. And that's just the beginning of all the beautiful things he did for us. But by being born, he let love into the world. Well, Merry Christmas. Jesus is born. He let love into the world. He let hope into the world. He let joy into the world. He let hope into the world. Well, Donald Orner, the director of customer service at the Harrisburg Post Office, decided to write little Julianne Holland back. And this is what he wrote. "We have no mail route to heaven, but I'm sure that Jesus is aware of what you wrote. He knows our thoughts, our feelings, and every line of our beautiful letter flowed out across all the miles that no mailman could ever travel or touched his heart. You said your letter wouldn't get anywhere? It touched my heart. And be assured, Julianne, he knows. May you have a happy Christmas and God bless you." Well, somehow a reporter found out about the letter, and the Associated Press flashed the story around the world. Well, if you've been with us over the past 4 weeks, we've been doing Advent. We've been journeying to Bethlehem by looking at the good news of great joy for everyone through the birth of Christ, the Lord. We've seen how the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the temple. Then a few months later, Gabriel comes again to announce to Mary that she'll become pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit, and Mary will give birth to the Messiah, to one who will save the world. Then the same angel appears to confirm the message of the birth of Jesus to Joseph. I encourage you to take a few moments this Christmas season and read chapters 1 and 2 of the Gospel of Luke and chapters 1 of Matthew. I encourage you to enter the stories. Put yourself into the story. Who do you identify with? Can you identify with Zechariah and Elizabeth praying a prayer for many, many years, thinking that the prayer will never be answered, hoping beyond hope? Are you Mary or Joseph? Maybe you're the anonymous innkeeper. I always like it when I read the stories and some people are not given names, like the innkeeper. When Mary and Joseph come and knock on the door and the innkeeper says, well, there's no room in the inn. We're not told who the innkeeper is. Maybe that's us this Christmas. Maybe it's time for us to open our heart, our home, to the Messiah. Maybe you're like the shepherds. The shepherds were outcasts. Did you know that the shepherds were so unclean they couldn't even go to church? Maybe that's how you feel. But do you know who the angels appeared to? The outcasts. You're in good company. The angel, or maybe, I've always tried to put myself, maybe you're one of the angels, and God says, guess what? I'm going to send my son to the world as a baby. They're going, what? I think you got this message wrong. The one who created the world became created so that he could live among us. Where are you in these stories? Better yet, where are you in your relationship with Jesus this Christmas? When Mary and Joseph said yes to God's plan, they likely didn't think this would mean enduring a grueling journey of 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, pregnant. And they certainly were not expecting there to be no room to physically give birth to the promised Messiah, the Christ child, the King of the universe. But here they were. On Christmas, let us take a few moments to reflect on the anonymous innkeeper and the overlooked shepherds for just a few minutes. The innkeeper's encounter, think of the anonymous innkeeper. It was an ordinary day for the innkeeper. He didn't expect that God would come and knock on his door. I always tell my congregation on Sunday mornings, expect the unexpected. God moves in ways we don't expect. The innkeeper was just going about his business on that day. He wasn't expecting for God to show up. He wasn't expecting for a young couple to show up. There was no room in the inn. All he knew that was that Bethlehem was, well, it was bustling and it was busy with all the people coming and back to town for the census. What I find interesting that Dr. Luke, who writes this account, is always so meticulous in reporting the facts that he leaves out the story of the name of the innkeeper. Luke doesn't tell us where the inn was or what the inn looked like. I know that theologians over the years have written for over 2,000 years about the innkeeper's encounter. The truth is that God comes in many varied ways. And my prayer is that God will come to you today on this Christmas day. Think of the ways how God often enters our lives. A farmer who was not even a worshiper of a God by the name of Abraham was minding his herd. He was watching over his herd when God called him to leave everything and take his wife to a land called Canaan in Genesis 12. A fallen prince by the name of Moses was working on the backside of the desert when God appeared to him in a flaming bush and said, "It's time to take all the people out of Egypt," Exodus chapter 3. A little shepherd boy by the name of David was busy tending his sheep when he was summoned inside, and a priest named Samuel poured oil on his head and whispered in his ear that he'd be Israel's next king. 1 Samuel 16. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and Merry Christmas. My prayer is that Christ will dwell in your hearts this Christmas, not just this day, but Christ would dwell in your hearts each and every day, and that you would come to know the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, and the Mighty God. We've been talking about how God works in mysterious ways and expect the unexpected. Abraham was called out. Moses was called out. David was called out. There was a high-ranking member of the Sanhedrin by the name of Paul, and he was on his way to Damascus putting down a religious cult, which he thought was a cult because they were following Jesus, and Jesus met him on that road with a blinding light. Listen, few in Bethlehem were ready, anticipating the Son of God to show up on their doorsteps. Certainly not this Hebrew business owner of the inn. This was just another couple trying to find space in a crowded town called Bethlehem. Oh, just to digress, Bethlehem, Hebrew, it's two words, Beit Lechem, and it means house of bread. And they come to the house of bread, and there's no room in the inn. They knock on the door, and they go, "Are you open?" Better yet, I think maybe the question is your heart open? Is there room in your life for God to show up and be born again? In you, in your inn, in your heart. We are religious up to the point that it costs us something. Yeah, I'm going to let that set for a minute. We're religious up to a point until it costs us something. We want Jesus who forms himself around our priorities, who can be sprinkled on top of our agendas. But Jesus invades our lives, and truthfully, he disrupts them. He asks us to leave our nets and follow him. He asks us to drop our ambitions and join his mission. He asks us to leave behind our idols and worship him with devotion. Frederick Buechner, in his book called The Hungering Dark, he writes this. This is a quote from Frederick Buechner. He says, "Those who believe in God can never, in a way, be sure of him again. Once they have seen him in a stable, they can never be sure where he will appear or what lengths he will go to or what ludicrous depths of self-humiliation he will descend in his wild pursuit of man. There is no place or time so lowly and earthbound that the holiness can be present there too." In essence, what Buechner, and he's a wonderful writer, what Buechner is trying to say is, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. Jesus, I want to knock on the table here, but Jesus wants to come and enter into your place and say, is there room in the inn? Let's talk about the shepherds for just a minute before we run out of time. The presence of the shepherds in the Christmas story also tells us a little bit about just what kind of Messiah Jesus would be. He would come to us as a Savior, as a King, as a Lion, but also as our shepherd. One minute they were watching their flocks, maybe catching a few minutes of sleep for the night shift, and the next minute they were witnesses to the salvation of history. Expect the unexpected when Jesus shows up. Expect the unexpected when the angels show up. I'll tell you what, if an angel shows up to you, and I believe they still appear, I bet you're going to hear, do not be afraid. The display in the heavens must have been spectacular that night as the sky around them filled with a host, an army of heaven praising God and worshiping God. I have no doubt that this wasn't just a small ensemble of angels or a few chief angels, but it was a host. A host is an army of heaven. Not even the greatest performance on earth with the most talented musicians could parallel the incredible celebration that unfolded on the big screen of the sky before those shepherds. The plan of God, conceived from time immemorial, the plan of redemption promised in the garden, was unfolding before their eyes. Did they expect that? No, they had just been tending their flock, keeping their own business, maybe telling a few jokes, you know, having their, I don't think they drink coffee, but having their tea, or just going to bed. And God shows up. I always find it interesting how God seems throughout Scripture to interrupt and show up in the middle of an ordinary person's daily routine. It's not like the shepherds got an email invite that said, meet up at the field for an epic event. It's not like they got a text message and said, be over there at such and such a time and the angels will be there. And yet, even though they were caught by surprise, these men of humble means and reputation, they responded in ways that prove God's wisdom in entrusting the announcement of the birth of Jesus to them. Do you get this picture? An innkeeper, the contrast, no room in the inn, and then the shepherds, and the great news of heaven is announced, and they responded with the greatest news ever. They believed. They believed. These shepherds saw the angels, heard the witness, and believed. The scribes were so jaded, the royals were so sophisticated, the Romans were so dismissive, but these humble outsiders had the simple faith to look up, listen, and put their faith in Christ, the Christ child. It says in that passage that we read in Luke, they went. They said, let's go see. You know, they could have said, oh, we've heard this story, you know, maybe told about the Messiah coming. I don't think it's him. And they could have stayed camped around the campfire. But they went to see. And when they got to the stable, they found the baby lying in swaddling cloths, and they praised God. It says that they returned glorifying and praising God. They returned, in the scripture it says, they returned a different way. That means, what I really believe it means is they returned, sure, they returned a different way. They didn't go the same way. Sure, that it could mean that. But I think they returned a different way in their heart. They returned, they had this peace that surpasses all understanding in their mind and their heart. They had this joy that would dwell, the joy of the Lord that would be their strength, that they had this joy in their heart that no problem, no fear, no circumstance could ever take, no happening could ever take that joy away. They had this love just envelop them, and they lived that out. And they had this hope. Love, hope, peace, joy, those are the four candles of Advent. But it says they returned a different way, glorifying and praising God on this Christmas Day. We've been talking about Christmas for 4 weeks here on the radio. That's my prayer, that you'll return a different way today, that you'll return glorifying and praising God. I'm going to say this before we go into a little reflection on the Christ child. If there's anyone here that's lonely tonight, you can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship, click on the prayer icon. Our prayer team has seen some wonderful miracles. I want you to know that you're not alone, that you'll never be alone when you ask Jesus into your heart, that the Prince of Peace will come to rule and reign. And he'll say to you, "Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." Let us reflect on the Christ child for just a few minutes. More than any other night of the year, the name of Jesus is on our lips. For a few precious moments, our heavenly desires, they come together and we become, well, we become like a chorus. We become like a choir. We're a mixed choir of business people and lawyers and doctors and nurses and teachers and homemakers. We're pastors and we're maybe even homeless people or prisoners. We're retired. We're summer in school. But we're all banking. We're all believing. We're all hoping that Bethlehem's mystery is a reality. Come and behold him. We sing that song, stirring even the sleepiest shepherds and bringing them to the Christ child. For a few precious hours at Christmas, Christ is beheld, Christ our Savior, Messiah, and Lord. The common is made holy. The unexpected happens. The loaf of bread becomes the bread of life. A cup of water becomes living water. A star in the night becomes the guiding star. A baby born in the stable becomes our firm foundation. What if we could give a Christmas gift to Jesus? What would you say? You probably would say, well, I don't have a gift. I think of the little girl at the beginning of the story who wanted to write about Jesus. We would say, we don't have anything worthy of a king, but you have one thing that's worthy, that all heaven would erupt in songs of praise when that gift is given. Do you know what it is? It's your heart. Christ longs to warm your heart. It's not enough to peek into the manger and say, oh, how nice, how a lovely scene. It gives me such a good feeling. The truth is, even if Christ were born in Bethlehem 1,000 times, but he's not born within you, you would be eternally lost. The Christ child who is born into the world must be born in your heart. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for the gift of Emmanuel, God with us, this Christmas. We thank you because Emmanuel is practical, Emmanuel is personal, and Emmanuel is forever. We thank you and ask that you will help us to continually respond to Emmanuel, Christ with us. In this season of heartaches, hurts, and harm, warm our hearts with your heavenly joy. In this season of insecurity, warm our hearts with your peace. In this season of war, warm our hearts with your hope. In this season of ugliness and hatred, warm our hearts with your love. Bless our homes, our families, our friends, our neighbors, and our workplaces. Bless our schools and our city and our state and our nation. Jesus, come into our hearts. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you. and so do we.